For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Taoiseach Simon Harris, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
You are on the road, I believe, on the way to Derry.
I am indeed. I'm looking forward to a busy day in Derry. I have a number of events on, including a meeting with the Mayor of Derry, an announcement around some funding to link the Wild Atlantic Way coastal with the Causeway coastal route to incredible tourism projects in two jurisdictions. And I'm also looking forward to visiting Ulster University, where we have major plans to help expand that university in the northwest and to deliver the John Hume Tip O'Neill lecture in the university as well, along with a number of other civic engagements. So busy day ahead.
What is your theme for that talk?
Really around reconciliation and around the fact that the ideals of John Hume still apply to everyday life now. And in fact, they're as important now as they were when John Hume was making these cases in the 60s and every decade since. That we have a peace on this island, and that is an incredible gift that has been given to us. But it is still at times a frosty peace, and that really we need to actually now look at how we do create that shared future, how we get to know each other better across the island, how we can really take on, I suppose, so much of the challenges that we face, I think, in politics these days and society is based on fear, fear of difference, fear of diversity, and how we have to overcome that now and actually try and plan a way forward. And I think that the lessons of John Hume around dialogue and diplomacy, around political courage and around having a vision for a better society are more relevant now than, quite frankly, they've ever been.
Now, there was a time when America could lecture us about how we should sort out our problems. You know, the shoe might be on the other foot now. Look to America and the disarray there in the body politic.
Well, look, I think no one country should be too sneering at anybody else's politics, because I don't think any country is immune from populism. And I'm conscious of the close proximity that we now have to the US election. So I don't want to overly comment on an election. I wouldn't appreciate if US politicians started commenting on Irish elections. But I do think there's a fragility around democracy. I think even last night, having seen another violent act of an act of political violence with shots fired in the vicinity of former President Trump, and I'm glad he's OK. I mean, that does remind us all that democracy and freedom are values that can never be taken for granted. And we all need to dial it down and tone it down. We need to get back to having politics that is about debating policy and not about being overly personal and not about thinking that for you to get political advantage, you have to talk down your political opponent. That doesn't serve us well. It's a zero-sum game and it's a race to the bottom.
Now, you talk about policy. Well, Roderick O'Gorman, the leader of the Green Party and a colleague of yours, writing in the Sunday Times and reiterating on our breakfast show this morning, talks about his two partners in government, Fianna Fáil and your own party, Fine Gael, acting as if the needs of politics supersede the needs of good policy. What do you say to that? In other words, you're electioneering, it's populism by any name, that you're buying votes effectively rather than looking at what might be good policy.
Well, look, I was a little bit surprised by that, a little taken aback. I get on very well with Roderick O'Gorman, and we've worked very well in government and we're continuing to work very well. Maybe these are things that people say before their party political thinking, and maybe I'll view those comments in that space. But you see, for me, politics and policy aren't separate. A good policy is good politics, Pat. And when my party, you know, I've heard Minister O'Gorman reference the residential zoned land tax. I'm fully in favour of a residential zoned land tax. I voted for it in the Dáil proudly. I want to see it come in, absolutely. I don't support land hoarding. But it's also perfectly legitimate good policy to say that I don't want that land hoarding tax to enable to have active farmers caught up in it, because an active farmer is not a land hoarder. They're people that need to be treated with a little bit of respect in this country. They're people that generate economic dividends that we can put into resources like childcare, like the health service, like the education system. So, you know, good politics is good policy. And I make no distinction between the two. But this is a government that has worked well together, and you don't have to take my word for that. You know, it's a government that's now lasted 4.5 years. We've delivered 4 budgets. We will deliver our 5th budget 2 weeks on Tuesday. We've led the country through very challenging times, including a COVID pandemic, an inflationary crisis, the impact of the war in Ukraine, and we continue to work in that vein. But of course, we are 3 distinct parties, and that's okay too. That's healthy as well.
Now, I could ask you the question about the election. You have reaffirmed again and again that it will be in 2025, in the spring of 2025, that the government will go virtually to the last day allowed under the law. But in anticipating your answer, I will put a supplementary to you, which is, are there any circumstances that would make you change your mind and bring that election forward to a mid-November date, for example?
See, I've never been quite as definitive as you've said there, because what I have said is this. I want this government to go full term. That's not breaking news. That's been the position of the leader of Fine Gael, which is me, the leader of Fianna Fáil and the leader of the Green Party, really since this government was formed. It was reiterated when I took over as Taoiseach in April. But of course, in politics, I don't have a crystal ball. There are 3 parties in the government. So it is my wish for the government to go full term. I'm proceeding and I'm planning on that basis. But you can't, you know, you can never foresee around every single corner in politics. I think you'd respect that. I think it would be dishonest to say anything else. It's my intention for the government to go full term. And that's what I'm working towards.
Yeah. But if I may paraphrase you, you're not ruling it out.
You can never, but that's going to get political journalists terribly excited that I've changed my position on the matter. I haven't. What I'm just saying is you can never be absolutely definitive about everything. It is my working assumption and it is my intention for this government to go full term. That's what I'm thinking this morning. That's what I was thinking yesterday. And I'd imagine it's what I'd be thinking tomorrow.
Now,
but
Roderick,
just to make the point, because I think it's an important one. Your listeners here are going, hang on a second. Whenever your man decides to have the election, doesn't really matter to me. What does matter to me is the policy. And this is back to policy and politics needing to be the same thing. It's about the budget. It's about cost of living. It's about delivering on housing, childcare, disability. And it's about working every day to make a difference. And then you have the election and people then give a verdict on where they want the country to go for the next few years.
Now, Roderick O'Gorman did indicate that it is his desire to go all the way to the end of the government's term because there are various items of legislation that he is advocating and would like to see passed. And also looking at the polls, and we'll talk about the polls in a moment or so, there's no reason for the Green Party, given its rating in the polls, to go rushing to an election. Does it require a consensus from the 3 leaders to decide on the date of the election, even though, as Roderick O'Gorman put it, it is absolutely your prerogative to decide when to go to the park? But does, you know, given the way this government has been operating, does it require an agreement from the 3 of you?
Constitutionally, it's the prerogative of the Taoiseach of the day to seek a dissolution of the Dáil from the President when he or she wishes. And that's the Constitution. The politics of this, though, is about being respectful. We have a government that I believe has worked well. We have a government that has steered the country through many challenges. And I certainly don't intend to surprise my coalition colleagues in relation to the election. We're not, you know, I get asked about this regularly in the media. That's absolutely fine. We haven't discussed it as party leaders in a significant period of time. In fact, the only conversation we've had about it took place at my first leaders meeting, which I think was at the very end of March or the very start of April. We're meeting very regularly at the moment, and that's on the budget. It's on the cost of living package. It's on the differences we can help make for people's lives in terms of the cost of living between now and Christmas. That's where our focus has been. Of course, once the budget's out of the way, my priority will then be on setting the housing targets, because this government has a real ability to set a very clear direction in terms of what we can do on housing delivery for the next 5 years. And I've been very clear that I think we can ramp up and scale up significantly the number of housing units delivered each and every year from 2025.
Lots of people will be pressing on you, and it won't happen in this budget in any event, but a future government will be pressed, whether you're at its head or otherwise, on the question of what to do with the Apple billions. And lots of people, including people like Michael O'Leary, I was reading while I was away, had plans, you know, a big bridge across Dublin Bay, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody wants to spend that money. Isn't there a good logic, though, behind spending the money on something very significant? In other words, this is legacy money. It should endow a legacy project.
In principle, yes, but I think what legacy is a matter for debate. So let me say a couple of things. I mean, firstly, this money won't be received by the government, by the Exchequer, for about 6 months. Secondly, what do we know? It can't be spent on day to day. So, you know, I'm even hearing interesting ideas coming out of opposition thinking that just can't happen, because you can't spend this money on recurrent day-to-day spending, because as you imply, you only get it once, right?
Yeah.
So you can only invest it and you can only spend it once. I've already heard proposals to spend it 10 times and it's not even 10 o'clock in the morning, right? So what can you spend it on? Well, you can spend it on things that are called one-off. So you can absolutely invest it in infrastructure. You can absolutely invest it in capital. And I think that's the space we should be looking at. So we have very, very, very serious constraints in Ireland when it comes to infrastructure and when it comes to things that make us competitive. In other words, make sure we can have jobs in our country into the future and keep our country prosperous. We're not where we need to be when it comes to energy, when it comes to our grid for electricity. We're not where it needs to be when it comes to water supply, and we're not where it needs to be when it comes to housing supply. And there are three areas that I think you could have a significant and exciting conversation about how you would harness this once-off windfall for our country. And then, without getting too technical about it, you'd ideally try and do as much of that as possible in a way that is off balance sheet. In other words, it doesn't affect your day-to-day budgetary cap. So I think that's the initial direction of travel that I'd like to see happen. What we should not do, what would be utterly disastrous for this country, is if the next general election is debased in terms of having a debate about how everyone spends the money over and over and over again, and kind of electioneering and auctioneering in relation to it. It's utterly irresponsible and it couldn't be delivered anyway. What can be delivered is investment in infrastructure, and infrastructure does include housing for our people.
Would you be tempted at all by the possibility of the Apple Underground? In other words, finally build a decent metro for Dublin and call it the Apple Underground. That's my tuppence worth.
Thank you for your suggestion, which I'll put in the log list of suggestions we receive. But look, we are obviously going to deliver a metro project, and we're certainly not going to name it after any company.
Yeah, although, you know, there's nothing wrong with naming a GAA ground after a company. So what about any piece of infrastructure? And bridges are named after politicians all the time. So anyway, what's in a name?
What's in a name? But like, look, this is a sovereign state. We'll deliver our own infrastructure. We'll deliver it based on the tax revenues our country receives. But I do believe, like, we now have finality in relation to Apple. I've heard many people say, I've heard a bit of disingenuous commentary in recent days that you could have had this money years ago if you hadn't taken the case. That is, of course, baloney to anybody who looks at the issue, because Apple were already taking the case. So there wouldn't have been a finality to this case any quicker, regardless of whether the state participated or didn't participate. But by the state participating, we have stood by foreign direct investment and we stood by jobs in the country. And remember, there's 6,000 people in this country getting out of bed this morning and heading to work in Apple. There's hundreds of thousands of people getting out of bed this morning and going to work in multinational companies. So multinationals, foreign direct investment matters to this country, and therefore that was the rationale behind defending the independence of our revenue, but it's very much a legacy case.
Now, no doubt, as you say, people will spend this money over and over again, and I'm sure there are people saying, spare a few coppers for Casement Park. Now that Sir Keir Starmer and his cabinet have turned their face against the timely redevelopment of Casement Park for the 2028 Games. What say you?
So look, I think this is a source of great disappointment. Let's be honest here. We're hosting the Euros between these two islands, between the UK and Ireland in 2028. It is going to be such an exciting spectacle of sport, but it's also going to be an incredible act of symbolism, I think, of the UK and Ireland working together. Another peace dividend, if you like, in hosting a major sporting event. And of course, it's going to be economically worth an awful lot to Ireland and to the UK. And there was great excitement about Northern Ireland obviously being able to participate in this and matches being able to be hosted in Casement Park. Now, I've discussed this with the British Prime Minister on a number of occasions. I discussed it in July. I discussed it in as recently as last Saturday week in Farmleigh when I hosted Keir Starmer. And I suppose to his credit, he did inherit this, if you like. He's only British Prime Minister for a number of weeks. I do know he thought long and hard about it. He looked at it. They engaged with UEFA. And it's not for me to speak for the British government, but I think they arrived at the conclusion that the timeline had been missed and that they couldn't guarantee delivery of the project in time, let alone the issue of funding. Now, I want to be very, very clear today. 50 million euros that the government I lead has pledged to Casement still stands. And we want to work and engage with all stakeholders now, the Northern Ireland Executive, the British Government, the GAA, to see how we can deliver a stadium and how we can be helpful. I'm conscious some of this is internal matters for the Northern Ireland Executive. I respect that. But obviously, when you're putting €50 million on the table, we do have an interest. I spoke to the GAA president over the weekend. I hope to meet him in the coming days. I think his approach has been really very helpful and pragmatic and constructive, because what we don't need to do now is look back. What we do now need to do is inject a new momentum into how we can deliver a GAA stadium that can host Ulster finals, that can host major matches. And also we need the commitment that was given that this stadium will be delivered. So I do think we'll get
to it. Have you ruled out 2028? That he, certainly at this point, as we head for 2025, that really there isn't the time to do it properly now?
Well, it's not for me to rule it out, but I do think by the actions, by the decision of the British government, it is clear now that it won't be ready for the Euros in 2028. That's not to say that activity and development can't take place in advance of 2028. It's also not to say that we shouldn't dig deep to find, to make sure that all parts of this island benefit from the Euros, including Northern Ireland. I want, when the eyes of the world are on this island, I want them to see all parts of this island, all of the island, north and south, east and west. And I want to see how Northern Ireland can benefit economically as well, can benefit from tourism from this. You know, is it possible to host training sessions in the north? These are matters for experts, of which I am not one. But certainly in approaching this with the British government, I want to make sure all parts of these islands benefit from the Euros.
Last question. Are you rejoicing at the polls over the weekend?
I'm not. I mean, it's always better to be up than down. And I am somewhat encouraged and grateful to people for responding to what I hope they see from me, which is hard work and an effort to reset and reconnect with the Irish people on a number of key issues. I've worked really hard over the summer period. I think people will acknowledge I didn't take a very long summer break. I've been working really hard to get to know communities across the island. It's encouraging to see where the polls are at, but I'm also in politics long enough to know that polls can change on a dime. And when elections are called, they can also dramatically change. So I take absolutely nothing for granted. But, you know, I'm Taoiseach of this country only since April. I'm working as hard as I can. I'm doing everything I can to make a positive difference. And I'm hoping that when the time comes and I ask people to give me a mandate and allow me continue to lead this great country, that they will give me that chance.
Taoiseach Simon Harris, safe journey to Derry. And thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.